So I'm glad you're here. The few, the proud, the faithful. All right, gifts is the title of my message this morning. And I think Joe put up some scriptures here. We're not gonna read all that. We are going to read a lot of scripture, and I'm not going to apologize for that, because when you have questions about what you want God to do for you, what better place to look than His Word? So gifts, what are they? Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. The Apostle Paul says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." All right, so we're gonna go on to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, if you're following along. But let's just highlight some of those gifts that we're talking about in Romans chapter 12. Prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving with liberality, leadership, and mercy with cheerfulness. All right, let's go on. 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues." And then in chapter 12, verse 28, Paul talking about the gifts that God gave to the churches, he says, "And God has appointed these to the churches: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and various tongues." All right. So more to add to the list: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healings, helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues. So, there's some question today about whether some of these specific spiritual gifts or miracle gifts are still active today, and I'm really not here to debate that. Tongues, healing, miracles, these may still happen today, but I think it's God doing them, not God working through individuals to do them. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. So we have a long list of gifts there. Where do these gifts come from? We're going to do this like a Sunday school class. Yes, where do gifts come from? From God. Obviously, they come from God. And let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts by the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So these gifts come from God. How many here have a spiritual gift from God? Okay. I see a few hands out there. If you're a born-again child of God, God has given you a gift. You may not realize it yet. You may not think that it's a gift from God. And maybe you just have questions about it. Now, I know a lot of you in here have gifts, and I know what your gifts are. But I'll bet if you sit down with a person and talk to them long enough, even though they don't know it, you can see what their gift is. You know, it could be encouragement. It could be hospitality. It could be peacemaker. It could be prophecy. And you go, ooh, prophecy. There's nothing strange or hypnotic about prophecy. It simply means to foretell or to forthtell, right? And we can read the Bible, and we can read what's happening in the future, and we can share that with somebody else, and that's prophecy, right? Jesus is coming again, right? Will there be a rapture? Amen. Will there be a judgment? Actually, two of them. Will there be a 1,000-year reign of Christ? Yes. All these things are future things, and when you share that with somebody, it's prophecy. So there's nothing really mystical about the word prophecy. Okay, all those things are prophecy. The gifts of administration or the gift of helps covers a wide variety of things. Brother Larry back there has a wood ministry, and he has the gift of administration, right? He doesn't do all the work himself. He organizes it, right? He arranges the wood. He arranges to have people come split the wood. He does a lot of the delivery, but sometimes he arranges other people to deliver that wood to, you know, people who need it. So he organizes it. That's the gift of administration. We had 8 or so people at Larry and Evelyn's this last Thursday, and even Josiah and Derek were there helping. Amen. You know, and they, believe it or not, they were a big help. Yeah, because us old people are you know, sitting on a stump, you know, working the splitters, and they're rolling the rounds up to us, you know, and it really does speed things up, because, you know, when we've been sitting down for, you know, 10, 15 minutes and you get up to get some more wood, you gotta stretch it out, and you gotta grunt and groan for a few minutes before you go get the wood, and then you gotta sit back down again, you know. So, you know, those little guys were a big help. You know, we didn't have to stop splitting to go get rounds. They just kept feeding us rounds, and it was a big help. So that's one of Larry's gifts, administration. There's Karen over here. She likes to buy little things for people. She's a giver. You know, it's nice to receive gifts. It's encouraging to receive gifts, just to think that people are thinking about you. And there are so many ways to use the gifts that God has given you. People who support the church and its ministries with their finances. We read earlier that, you know, he who gives with liberality is a gift. And we have an opportunity here today. We've got a board back there with a bunch of stickies, you know, for things to buy for our back-to-school night in a week from this coming Saturday. And so we'll talk about that at the end. Is that a Saturday? Yeah, 28th is a Saturday. I don't know. Yeah, it's August, not September. Okay. All right. And, you know, there's, you know, those who administer VBS. Sister Christine back there. You know, that's a gift. It, you know, she doesn't do all the work, although she does a ton of it, but she administers it. You know, she has other people that are doing a lot of those activities. It's a gift. And those are gifts that God gives us. So what is the greatest gift that God gives us? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Apostle Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, he says, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. So what's Paul's emphasis here?
Love.
Love. Not the kind of love that the world talks about, but the love. Love should be our motivation for everything that we do. Everything that we do. Whether it's the love of Christ to be obedient to Him, to not do the things that we're not supposed to do, and also to do the things that we're supposed to do, or whether it's for people that we come in contact with. For neighbors, for family, for friends, for enemies,
Yeah. Even
our enemies. That's a tough one, but that love should drive us to do everything that we do. And the passage that we just read is the reason that some question whether these miracle gifts are still in play today. Tongues, miraculous healers. Paul says in verse 8, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. So what's that perfect thing? Okay. So how would walking in love do away with prophecy and speaking in tongues and miracle healing? I'm sorry? All right. When Jesus comes. When Paul was writing here, Jesus had already been born, lived his life, was crucified, risen again, appeared to over 500 people, and went back to be with God. So, personally, I don't think that's talking about when Jesus comes again. Certainly it will be, you know, he is the perfect one, but I think that is talking about the Word of God, right? We have the complete, perfect Word of God. Now, there may be some translation difficulties that come up now and then, but we have the completed or perfect Word of God. We may not need further prophecy by individuals. We may not need the gift of tongues because we have everything we need to know right here. So, that's my opinion. Is it possible that I'm wrong? Absolutely. It's not the first time I've been wrong, and it's not the last time I've been wrong. When I was in my 20s, I had it all figured out. I had it figured out. I was one of those dumb ones that predicted a date for the coming of the Lord. It's going to be 2016. Because it was, you know, the scripture talks about one generation after Israel becomes a nation again. You know, and I go, well, one generation is 60 years. So, you know, 48 to 2016 or 46 to 2016, 60 years. It's simple. I don't know what the problem is. That's come and gone. So, yes, I'm very capable of making mistakes. In fact, sometimes I make a habit of it. But one thing is certain. The greatest gift from God that we have is love. Now, in the 14th chapter of Corinthians, Paul identifies some issues in his time that came with tongues if no one is there to interpret. Paul says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy or foretell the word of God. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. But now, brethren, I come to you speaking with tongues. What shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be so, many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, I do not know the meaning of the language. I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. The church there in Corinth, they were seeking for gifts, right? And there's nothing wrong with that, but I guess there came a lot of esteem with the gift of tongues, yeah. Right? People thought highly of those who spoke in tongues. Paul's saying, if you don't have an interpreter there, yeah, what's the point? It doesn't edify the church, and that's the whole purpose of tongues and prophecy and teaching. So Paul says that he wished that they would desire prophecy as a gift to edify, to teach brothers and sisters in Christ. So who are the gifts for? Thank you. You know, when we get gifts for Christmas or for our birthday, who's the gift intended for? The one that it's given to, right? But that's not so of the gifts that the Lord gives us. You know, a gift is for the person to whom it's given. When the Spirit gives us a gift, it's not for our benefit. Now, we may receive blessings for God working through us and being obedient to exercise the gift that God gives us, but who is the gift intended for? Others, for those around us. Yeah, and specifically, the Apostle Paul emphasizes gifts to the church, right? To for the edification and the learning and the teaching and the perfection of the saints. Let's go back and review just a list of those gifts. Prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, mercifulness, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, prophecies, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healings, helps, administrations. People who have those gifts don't use those gifts for their own benefit, right? Can you think of, in that list, can you think of anyone that was for the benefit of the person who received the gift? Nope, they're all for others. Yeah, he talks about all these things by the same Spirit, by the same Spirit, by the same Spirit, by the same Spirit. We're all to be unified in the Spirit of God. Paul, talking to young Pastor Timothy, tells him, Do not neglect the gift that is in you. If God has given you a gift, you need to use it. For God's glory. Yes, thank you. Now, when these gifts were given, they were not just something to give you an urge, and then you begin to learn how to use this gift. You know, if you think about the apostles and the disciples on the day of Pentecost, they were giving the gift of speaking in tongues. They didn't have to go out and learn anything. They just spoke what God told them to speak. You know, they didn't have to go learn it. It was a gift, not a promise of, I will teach you how to do it. It was a gift given to them. They received the gift and they used the gift. And, you know, we may have other gifts that aren't necessarily spiritual gifts, right? Just life gifts or life skills that we've learned. Playing a musical instrument. I don't know anybody who just sat down at a musical instrument and could play, you know, cantatas or whatever. You know, they all had to learn how to play it. Some obviously learn a lot quicker than others, but they still had to learn it. You know, sitting down with a child and reading him a Bible story and make that story come alive, that's a gift. You know, and sometimes people just need somebody to listen to them. Too many times somebody sits down and starts talking to us, we want to solve all their problems. You know, and many times they don't want people to solve their problems. They're not looking for advice. They just want somebody to listen to them. Right? And other times they are looking for advice. Can you give advice without being condescending or without being condemning? You know, there are so many places that we can use our life skills. So think about it. If you're a child of God, who are the gifts or the life skills meant to benefit? We talked about that. Other people, not you. You might receive blessings by helping other people, but the gift is not for the purpose of benefiting you. So let me ask you again, how many people here think they have a gift? You know you do. All right. And if you're not sure what your spiritual gift is, or you're not sure how to use that gift, ask God to reveal it to you through the Holy Spirit. And we're gonna pray here in just a minute, and then we're gonna sing a song and have a time of reflection. Think about things that God can use you to minister to other people. All right? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've had. Father, we thank you for the gifts that you give us. And Lord, help us to use those gifts for your honor and for your glory, to help other people. And to help ourselves also. Father, we just pray that you would help us to understand the gift that you've given us and how we can apply it in our lives. And Father, most of all, we thank you for love. And we just pray that we would allow love to motivate us in everything that we do. And forgive us when we fail to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's sing one.